We begin with prayer. Lord, I just pray for your guidance and your Holy Spirit to come in power and guide me as I speak. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want you to use your imagination right now. Just imagine being in that congregation that day. You enter the synagogue with a certain expectation of what's going to transpire because everyone in town has heard that Jesus is back in Nazareth. You've heard the rumors that have been circulating. You may have heard from someone in Nazareth what happened down by the Jordan River, how a great crowd had gathered to hear John the Baptizer. And after everyone had been baptized, including Jesus, Jesus was praying and something happened. It was as though the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and somehow anointed him. All that was more than a month ago. I wonder if we'll see something more today, this morning, here in our own synagogue, hear something new. The synagogue begins. The service begins. It's packed in there, and there's a real feeling of the presence of God, a real buzz in the place. Things progress pretty normally until it's time for the scripture to be read. The Torah scrolls are brought out by the Hazan, who's in charge of the services. The Holy Word of God, the scriptures are read in several portions, sometimes as many as seven. Different people were scheduled to read a portion each week. The readings were determined according to a schedule so that the reader would have no choice in the passage that was read. Because Jesus is a member of the congregation, the Hazan has invited him to come forward to read. Everybody knows Jesus, and he's been away for a while, and now he's back in town. Jesus looks for and finds the reading for today from Isaiah. And as you listen, you know you've heard this passage before, but somehow, even though the words are familiar, there's something about it that seems new. And you look at the man who's reading from the scroll. He looks familiar to you too. There's something you recognize him. You know you've seen him before, but again, something seems so different that you're not quite sure that he is who you think he is. And then you hear him say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has invited me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And you look around and you realize you're not the only one. Everybody's staring at Jesus, some in awe, others in wonder, a small group with suspicion, still others with fear. You read a range of emotions crossing the faces who cannot look away from this man who's cracked open the words written on the scroll. There's silence. He sits in the seat of Moses, and then the scroll is returned. But the congregation isn't ready to move on until they've heard from Jesus. All eyes are on him. After a moment, he begins to speak, and his words astound you. He begins with a real zinger, a sentence that remains fresh and provocative even today. Jesus sets free the scripture passage that he's just read. He lets the lion out of the cage. He overthrows the ho-hum expectations of the people around him. Here's what he says. "Today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." Jesus does the unexpected, the unimaginable on that memorable morning on the Sabbath in Nazareth. In today's jargon, he proclaims those ancient and prophetic words from Isaiah as his own personal mission statement. And the reason God's Spirit came crashing down on him at his baptism was to empower him to do precisely this, to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let all the oppressed go free, announce the sweet Jubilee year when God's justice and mercy will be reshape society. Jesus takes all this as his mission statement, and he's not content to leave it as only a string of high-sounding words. Everything that follows in his life, as presented to us in the gospel, amounts to the living out of the prophecy that he claims for himself that Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He keeps doing these things every chance he gets, every time he turns around, until finally it kills him. Some of the people welcome what Jesus does, but others don't, because it upsets their unfair advantage, their questions of complacency, and pushes them to recognize their habitual infidelity to God. They think they've won when Jesus dies on the cross 3 years later, but they're wrong, of course. Jesus rises alive, the conquering hero who still incites revolution in the world today. Now, the way he works is through his mystical body, the church, through each of us, you and me, and all who are baptized into his body. Jesus strives to still live out his mission statement, bringing good news to those who don't have any, setting free those chained in captivity, opening the blind eyes, helping the oppressed and the exploited to find a life. Jesus still does these things because his church does them. You and I, we're the bearers of Jesus' message to proclaim freedom to those who are prisoners. The poor gain hope, whether it's their souls or their bodies that are starved. The captives experience freedom, whether they're prisoners in a jail or prisoners in a mansion, prisoners of the past or prisoners of addiction. The blind receive their sight, whether it's by cataract surgery at the church hospital or the scales of injustice, prejudice, bigotry falling off their eyes. The oppressed are set free, whether the oppression is a political regime or chemical independence or somebody who makes you feel like none of this matters. When Jesus reads that message, that passage in a Nazareth synagogue, he announces a mission statement for himself and for his body, the church. Today's reading from 1 Corinthians is another important passage about how the body of Christ, the church, is to live out the mission statement of Jesus. As we strive to keep faithful to those words Jesus read aloud and lived them out, we can pay attention to 3 points that St. Paul insists on in that passage. All members of the church have gifts for ministry. That means you have a gift for ministry. Have you claimed that gift? 2, members of the church each have different gifts. We're not clones of each other. We're not complete in ourselves, but we strive to have different gifts for ministry, strive to discover what they are. And 3, the different gifts come to life in the context of the whole, found in the truth of the gospel. This isn't a new message. It's the same one that Jesus proclaimed, but we are called to live out and proclaim. Jesus reads the old words from Isaiah and claimed them for his own. You and I can do the same. We can claim Jesus as our Lord, and then we can claim those things that he set out to do because we're part of his body. So I want to ask you to do something dangerous. I want to ask you to stand. I know you're thinking, what do I have to stand for? Just stand. And we're going to proclaim the Spirit of the Lord upon us. We're going to go through that reading and claim it for our own as servants of Christ. So stand up. Turn on your cameras. Please stand and repeat after me, sentence by sentence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim release to the captives. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to help the blind recover their sight. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim the year of the Lord's Jubilee, the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And today, if you will allow it to be, this scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing. Amen. So this week, here's your challenge: to go out and set a captive or two free. Amen.